إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار After that Inshallah we are going to proceed with our exegesis and the explanations for how to pronounce the words of the Holy Quran, its connotations, knowing the specific moral rulings behind the verses, the interpretational meanings which affect the state of its sentences, its formation, and its sequences. If you could recall, we are still under verse 196 of Surah Al-Baqarah, of which we were discussing on that segment of the verse. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَوَأَذَا دَكْ has no means to that option. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ Whoever that does not get the means, that does not find the hadith, that not get chance for the sacrifice. Similar to what Imam Sa'idi mentioned in his exegesis to this particular segment of the verse. Said فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَيْ أَلِي هَدْيُ أَوْ ثَمَنِي meaning the sacrifice, the sacrificial animal or its value, أَوْ ثَمَنُهُ or its value, anything that is equivalent to that. If you have the amount, you have the currency that would be equivalent to the value of hadiah. So this can take the position of the hadiah. So either hadiah or thamanu or its value. Whichever that would stand at the value of hadiah. Suppose you have a gold or a silver or a crypto, which is equivalent to the hadiah. So you are capable to do the hadiah. So in the case of a person that did not get chance for the hadiah, no, he has the hadiah, neither anything of its value. فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج. So fasting of 3 days in the sanctuary, in the pilgrimage. So the issue of hadaya is not something that is new. It is something that originated from the time of Abraham alayhi salam. Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. As how the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam made a dream to perform the pilgrimage. He made a dream that he found himself in the sanctuary together with his companions, performing the tawaf, the circumambulation. When he tried to accomplish that dream, as we know, Ru'ya Salih is one of the modes of inspiration and revelation to the messengers and the prophets. When they were about to enter into the sanctuary, the people of Mecca, they blocked it. Likewise, Abraham alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, he said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُعْمَرُ. He said, oh my son, I made a dream. I saw in a dream أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, that I'm going to sacrifice you. Did I sacrifice you? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Look into the matter. What do you think? What do you see? Can I go ahead? Can I proceed further? He said, يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. Oh my dad, oh my father, افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. Do what you are commanded. Look into the obedience of the time. And look into the optimism of the father, Abraham alayhi salam. So prophets are to the higher level of optimism. They are highly optimistic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dream that he performed the pilgrimage. Even though there was no clearance whether it is major one or minor one, but in the moment that he made the dream, that he saw him performing the tawaf, he know that it is pilgrimage, and he called the attention of his companions to go for the pilgrimage. Likewise, Abraham, he made a dream that he sacrificed his son. So before taking that decision, he consulted the child. The child replied to him, do whatever you were commanded. For because even the child trusts the message, trusts the prophethood of his father, he said, go ahead. Until to the time where the Almighty decided to free the child. فَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزُبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we buried him, we free him. بِزُبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. With a great sacrifice, great sacrifice. Greatest sacrifice. Meaning greatest sacrifice. sacrificial animal. So if not of the favor of God, the sacrifice would be in humans. Not in domesticated animals, not in the livestock. So God decided to save humans from the issue of sacrifice. So first, if God decided to make it in such a way, I don't think there would be peace within the humanity. There would be no more obedience. And besides that, in the history, there was a particular culture to some ethnic groups. Even for the Quraysh, they had such culture. If a person commit to a vow, that if he achieved to some certain matters, he would make a sacrifice. And they don't differentiate. The sacrifice could be in animals or in humans. Like the case of Abdul Muttalib. He committed to a vow that if that matter is accomplished, if God made the matter to be accomplished, then definitely he would sacrifice one of his children. And it was accomplished. And the issue remained for Abdul Muttalib. So, and he tossed, and it fell into the, or onto the father of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah. And he committed to his vow that he must sacrifice Abdullah. Later on, due to some consultation, due to some intercession by the prominent amongst the Quraysh, decided to free him. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once nicknamed by Ibn Zabihay or Ibn Zabihatay, a son of two sacrifices. For his forefather, Ishmael, was about to be sacrificed by Abraham. If not, God saved the child. And likewise, his real father, his blood father, his begotten father, Abdullah, was saved from the vow of Abdul Muttalib. So with due the revelation revealed to the final of the messengers, the sacrifice was designed to be on some certain animals and in a form of devotion. It became a religious ritual. Allahumma musta'an. That's the issue of Al-Hadya, because it was something that is since time immemorial. And that's why you could even listen from so many poets that mention about Al-Hadaya. Like one particular poet from the Jahiliyyah, from the medieval town, where a poet was saying, حلفت برب مكة والمصلى وعناك الحديد مقلداتي. زاد حلفت برب مكة والمصلى هدي حلفت برب مكة والمصلى وعناك الحديد مقلداتي. الهدي بمعنى هدية. So he swear by the Lord of Mecca and the sanctuary. وَعَنَاكِ الْحَدِيِّ مُقَلَّدَاتِ and the neck of the serpent fans that are hung. الله المستعان. So that is religious ritual, issue of hadiah. And so God specified in that. But unnecessary butchering of animals should not be accepted. Even during the time of the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, he warned against that. Because they are livestock. Yes, they are stocks. But they are destined to breathe to some certain limit of the worldly land. As we are destined to live on the earth, that's how they are destined to live also. Yes, God utilized this domesticated animal, the livestock, for you to enjoy with them, but according to the legal processes. You know what happened during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of one particular rural dweller. That offers a particular camel. The camel was so tired, was so offers to the extent that the camel was shed in tears. And the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam approached the camel. He asked the owner, where is the owner of this camel? They pointed towards the person. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said, from today, never you mount any burden on top of this particular camel. So do not oppress the animals. Like in some of the places, you will see that the cows, the buffaloes, and the camels that have been utilized in agriculture. You have what is called mechanized farming. So instead of using the cows to cultivate the land for you, better if you get the tractors. Or those mechanisms, those materials to cultivate the land. As you could suffer, you would also lose energy in the area time where there wasn't such materials of development. If you use that medium, you will not be blamed for today, but as for today, the world has developed. There are such facilities of land cultivation. Instead of using animals, better if you use the tractors or the materials that have been used, the metals, to do it yourself. Sometimes the humans, if they find something difficult to themselves, they shift that body onto their animals without observing the effects of drought to the animals. For if God is the one that decided that that particular burden to be shifted to the animals, then no problem in terms of religious rituals. But in other daily activities, we should not just shift the burden to animals if there are some other alternatives. Like in the area time, in terms of fetching water, in some of the rural areas, they use animals like horses, donkeys, cows, to fetch water for them from the well. They would tie the pesha, the rope of the pesha, to the animals, and they would flog the animal in order to draw the water from the well. But as for now, there is development, there is an alternative of tap water, borehole, and so many alternatives to try to decrease the body on the animals also. As you have blood, they have blood. You know, in the beginning, the religious sacrifice, it's just time to be on humans, as how Abraham alayhi salam made a dream. But God shifted that to animals in order to decrease the burden upon humans. So likewise, if you get another alternative, you can decrease the burden on the animals. Instead of using the donkeys, using the cow to cultivate your land, you can make use of tractors. As you know, this point of discussion is clear because we are in a chapter with the title Al-Baqarah. And the upcoming session we will discuss about the benefits that are related to cows. So follow to the next session, we will discuss on those matters. So God saves Ishmael from that religious sacrifice with a sheep. بزبحين عظيم الشيب أكرد سكرفيش الأنمى. You see how God shifted the burden to the animals. For because God knows that there would be a time where the humans will begin to shift the burdens on animals to the robots. Have you got it? So today you can make use of tractors or humanoid robots to cultivate your land. You can buy a robot to cultivate your land. You see, you shift the burden from humans to animals, from animals to robots. And further, in the upcoming future, we'll get to a time that even the burden will get decreased from the robots. Have you got it? And I hope some of the robots are not listening to me. I'm not saying that we should move the burden from animals to robots. Allahu musta'an, as they utilize energy, they utilize power. Have you get it? As for our energy, it's like similar to that of animals. We have blood, they have blood. We absorb the calorie and likewise. So for the robot, they utilize electric power. How you get it? In one way or the other, something will be taken away from our own pocket or part of our energy. But still it decreases the body. And this is one of the purpose of human living. Like what happened to Moses alayhi salam, Musa, may peace be upon him. May peace be upon him. When his father Elu said that, I want you to serve for me for 8 years duration. If you accomplish to the 10, this is just a favor from your side, a favor from your side. He said, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُكَّ عَلَيْكَ, I don't want to burden you. I don't want the matter to be difficult unto you. But because he knew that one of the importance of human civilization is to decrease the burden on humans. 8 years service or 10 years service. But he says that you don't want to burden him. So for any innovation, for any invention, put in your mind that this particular material or this particular invention is ought to decrease the human body. If you modulate it in such a way, if you formulate it in such a way, if you produce that innovation in such a way, definitely it will be of beneficial. But sometimes we'll see some of the innovation are becoming burdensome. So there are some certain factors that you have to put at the back of your mind in any issue. And these are the key points that are elaborate in the verse with regards to the issue of devotion and the pilgrimage. God gave so many alternatives, so many options in order to decrease the body. You can perform the fasting, you can give the charity or make a sacrifice. Even for the sacrifice to some extent. What else? Give more? Option for that. Have you got it? Even if you don't have the hadiah, you can perform the fasting. فَسْيَامُ سَلَاسَةِ أَيَّامٍ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُ. So that's the point of the discussion. You know, the hadiah is part of the manasik. And there will be even a condition where you must to commit to two hadiah. That of your umrah with something interface with, that is two sacrifices. And the hadiah of the major pilgrimage. Have you are getting the point? من شيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر بن عبد الله السئلي مشن فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعت fasting for 3 days in the pilgrimage. He said, أول جوازها من حين الإحرام. أول جوازها, the first stage of the obligation من حين الإحرام, من حين الإحرام بالعمرة. At the time of taking the prepayment for the Umrah. The more you take the prepayment for the Umrah, then it became an obligation. فاقيها ثلاثة أيام بعد النحر. And the end point of it, ثلاثة أيام بعد النحر. 3 days after the sacrifice, within ayam, within the ayam tashriq, of which he further stated down ayam rami al-jimar, that is jamrat al-aqaba, from the beach of Mina, in all those time period you can perform the fasting. Where further he mentioned that walakin al-afdal minhuma, but the best out of that, أَيَّسُمَ السَّابِعُ وَالثَّامِنُ وَالتَّاسِعُ, for the person to perform on the seventh day of ذي الحجة والثامن, and the eighth day of ذي الحجة والتاسع, and the ninth, which I clarified yesterday, that better if the person started before the 6th day of Dhul Hijjah in order to avoid fasting on the day of Arafah. وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ, and 7 days when you return. If you return back to your destination, you have to perform 7 days, for because you did not get the Hadayah. So because you did not get the Hadayah, if you return back home, you must do reimburse the 7 days fasting that remain for you. He said, أي فرقتم من الأعمال الحج, أي فرقتم من أعمال الحج, that is as you accomplish the procession of the pilgrimage. So probably he said, فيجوز فعلها, فيجوز فعلها في مكة, في مكة. It's also lawful to be performed in مكة. وفي الطريق and likewise on the way. وعند وصوله إلى أهله, and at the time that the person reached to his family. The person can be embossed those 7 days fasting. Yesterday I clearly stated down, reviewing to the information in the verse and other hadith, some of the evidence, some of the adilla, I did not go with this point of Mam's Sa'idi. So, but clearly stated that, وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُ, and that's how even the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam recommend to some of the companions. But if a person is living in Mecca, such person can perform the fasting within the remaining 7 days fasting. Or on the way. And likewise for the person that his family, like his wife and his children, are together with the person during the pilgrimage. So such person can reimburse the 10 days fasting due to lack of hadayah at any time, even before reaching to the destination. The reason why God gave this is in order to decrease the body. How you get it? ذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام. ذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام. That is to the one that is fabulous. Are not present at the sacred mosque. In the family of the pilgrim, the pilgrim are not present with the person at the sanctuary. So such person has to follow that method. At the pilgrimage, after completion of the pilgrimage, due to the lack of hadiah, such person has to observe 3 days fasting, has to perform 3 days fasting. And when he returned back home, and he reached his family, then he can reimburse the remaining service. But if the families are together with the person, then in such, such person has to reimburse the 10 days fasting, even at the sanctuary, or even at the accommodation that the person was given there in the pilgrimage. So how I in Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, now we see it make some clarification to the end of the verse where he stated that لِأَنْ كَانَ إِنْدَ مُسَافَةِ أَصْرٍ فَأَكْثَرْ. Like the person is in the distance of a journey distance of Qasr, a journey distance that would establish the rule of shortening prayers. You know Al-Qasr, shortening the prayers, like Zuhr, Asr, and Isha, had to be shortened. For a long distance journey. Instead of 4 rak'at, you had to perform 2 rak'at. إذا ضربتم في الأرض فليس عليكم جناح أن تقصروا من الصلاة إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. So that particular verse that discuss on the issue of qasr. So if the distance is so far away, such person has to make the reimbursement when he reached to his destination instead of doing it at the sanctuary. وأما من كان أهله في أهله من حاضر المسجد الحرام. But as for the person that his family are present in the sanctuary mosque, فليس عليه هدي لأجل الموجب لذلك. The person has no any sacrifice due to that lack of what will oblige that. Have you done it? So there is another hukum. If the family are together with the person, in such a way, there is no hadiah on the person. Have you done it? So this particular statement mentioned by Imam Sa'id has supported his opinion where he said that سَيْدُوْتُ فِئِلُوهَا فِي مَكَّةِ وَفِي التَّبِيكِ وَإِنْدَهُ وَسُولِهِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ. With regards to the fasting, so he drew another point of discussion with regards to the hadith. So suppose he don't have the amount to do the hadith. He don't possess the hadith. And likewise, his family are together with him in the pilgrimage. So in such a way, there is no need of the reimbursement of that at home. Have you got it? فليس عليه حد لعلم الموجب لذلك. There is no hadiah on the person. How do you get this point clear? The Bhagavad mentioned what Ta'ullah and fear God. Fear God. أي بمعنى في أي أمركم in all of your matters. بامتثال أوامر. In applying to His commandments. In complying to His commandments. واجتناب نواهيه. And avoiding his warnings. Whatsoever God warned against, try to avoid that. ومن ذلك and out of that, امتثالكم لهذه المأمورات. So compliance to these recommendations. واجتناب هذه المهجورات المذكورة في هذه الآية. And avoiding all these forbidden matters. They are enlisted, they are mentioned in this particular verse. فَلَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ And know that, you should know that God is severe in punishment. أي لمن أصاه But it's quite severe to the person that disobeys him. If you disobey God, you constantly disobey God. The one thing that your meeting with God would be good. It would never be good, but rather it would be bad. Because you would be punished. Would be interrogated. So to replace back the discussion from what we discussed earlier, under the lesson of this verse, that is the issue of mechanized farming or mechanized agriculture. As you can see, the scarcity of food today. So, one thing that we should put at the back of our mind, that we should put in our cerebrum, is that. Recognize famine offers numerous benefits that can help farmers increase their productivity, profitability, and sustainability to the entire humans. One of the important benefits of adopting mechanized farming is to decrease the labor, to decrease the labor on humans, and likewise to decrease the labor on animals. The animals being utilized in cultivation. I mentioned some examples that in some of the rural places, the cows. The cattle, camels, donkeys, horses are used in cultivation. Some are used to fetch water, to draw water from the wells, for example. In this century, 21st century, if that happened in the past, that is just a history that we don't want it to repeat itself. But this world, there is so much state of development. As we have blood, likewise the animals utilize that as part of their energy. You know the effect of the body. So likewise we should try as much as possible to decrease the labor body on ourselves to the animals in the past. The labor is decreased on animals and get shifted to on humans and get shifted on animals. And today the labor is being decreased again. So as there are so much alternatives that I mentioned, like shifting the level from animals to robots, to machineries. That's another point of development, and it is ihsan. It is the kindness that we do to ourselves, and likewise to our domesticated animals, and to the animals. So better if we shift the labor, the burden of labor, to the machines, instead of mounting the labor on other creatures that utilize blood as we utilize. So besides decreasing the level, that is in mechanized agriculture, there is time saving. That will help us a lot to save our time, and likewise to save the time in using the animals. The mechanized farming allows tasks to be completed much faster than manual labor, saving farmers in their time and enabling them to work on multiple tasks simultaneously. For you have tractor, you have the bulldozer, you have the planters, you would have a chance to work in other tasks. You can harvest and process the farm products at the same time. And that's why you see, as for today, the farm that that we have to do. You see so many farms that they produce the farm products while processing within the farm and sending it out to the market as a processed product. They cultivate the raw materials and they process the raw materials. Due to what? Due to their adoption to mechanized farming. And even today, in terms of tractors and the planters, there are GPS guided tractors. No need of even human to control the tractors. You can do the job for the farmer. And even the planters. No need of you to waste your time to implant the seeds or to harvest the cereals or the crops, for example. The machines will do it for you. And as I mentioned, you can just purchase humanoid robots. You can purchase the robots, for example. They can do other work for you. For indeed, maybe in some stages, there would be a need for human intervention. After the planters has done the job, after the tractors has done the job, maybe there would be any of human intervention in terms of processing the crops, for example. So in that also, you can have another alternative. Just go to the companies that sell the robots. Can just go for that alternative. In terms of tractors, people, go for the GPS-guided ones. GPS-guided planters and tractors. And in that, there is high level of precision. Even beyond what some of the humans, some of the farmers can offer. In order of you wasting your time in planting, fertilizing, and harvesting. And that's why nowadays we are getting high yield crops due to this advancement. And likewise, if you compare the expenses, someone would have a notion, person would have a notion, or develop a notion that it is so costly. The amount I would invest in the machinery, the mechanized farming, would be much expensive. There is this kind of notion. But one thing that you should know, to do the high investment for you to buy the tractors, the planters, or the robots. But you should know that. That is a long-term investment. It can lead to long-term cost savings by reducing the need for manual labor. And hence, that would increase efficiency. So that's the difference. Utilizing those tractors, those robots, for a long period of time, for many years to come. And likewise, if you review the benefit in terms of scalability, you would harvest in much scale, you would get more benefit. So because mechanized farming, they allow you as a farmer, or the farmers, to work on larger scales and increase their production capacity. And that would make it easier to meet the market demands, and also expand the operations. Today, there is so much demand. There is imbalance between the demand and supply. Why? Because of the weakness we have in terms of mechanized farming. Go to the industries, the companies, you would see new brand tractors, planters, harvesters, and even in terms of robotics. But where are those farmers that are to buy the tractors? They don't. And that's the reason why up till now, we are not able to clear the market demand. Or to satisfy the market demand. We do the benefit in terms of mechanized farming. And that is a favor to ourselves. That is a sign to the humans, because you would decrease the level burden on humans, on the farmers, on the employees, and likewise on other animals that have been used in agricultural labor. And in mechanized farming, there would be safety, actually. For if the physical strength is reduced on humans, on animals, you see the chances of injuries will decrease. Definitely decrease. So there would be much safety in the agricultural operations as compared to the normal model agriculture of farm. And also within mechanized farming, we have other advancements or technology. There is what has been called, or what we call, precision agriculture. It is part of mechanized farming, because you will not have precision without utilizing the technology, without utilizing the machinery. And in agriculture, there is a concept known by the agriculturist as conservation tillage. So because there would be no more water squandering, the waste of water would decrease. Because the amount of the water to be given to the soil would be precise amount. Maybe those particular crops requires only two water absorption or two water in a week. While without using the mechanized mud, using humans to that particular work, maybe they would continue to pour water onto the crops, even though the amount is of little that the crops require. So the water usage would be minimized through mechanized agriculture. And soil erosion would also be decreased. And there would not be chemical issues or chemical runoff. So through the mechanized agriculture lies precision. And besides that, mechanized agriculture, as I mentioned, besides the profitability, scalability, there would be sustainability. But because mechanized agriculture or mechanized farming can help reduce the environmental impact of agriculture, allowing for more precise use of resources. As I mentioned, such as water, fertilizer, and pesticides. So if you due to that precision, due to the accuracy, the fertilizers, pesticides, the water would be used in a precise amount. So this is one of the importance. So if we look on the lessons within the human endeavor, we would see some of the key points behind so many verses. Allahu yuridu bikum يسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. So if in terms of devotion, God desires ease for humans, what about in other aspect of human life, aspect of human living, aspect of human life? So that's the reason. We should put this factor at the back of our mind whenever we intend for development. Whenever we have the intent for innovation. So this is the issue. We should try as much as possible to take note of this lesson. That's the ihsan that God the Almighty mentioned in these verses. وَأَحْسِنُوا and be generous, be kind. One of the verse, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be kind as how God is kindful to you. When you get injured, you feel the pain. And likewise, when the animals get injured, they have that sensation. They have the sense of irritability. So be kindful to them. Now authentic hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly mentioned, دخلت امرأة النار في حيرة ربطتها ولم تضعمها حتى ماتت تأكل من حشاش الأرض حتى ماتت. One particular human get into punishment. Oh, as how the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam clearly mentioned, دخلت امرأة النار. A woman entered into a lakad pie, entered into the hell. She got herself into the hell pie. Why? في حيرة ربطتها. في حيرة ربطتها. Due to a cat, a kitten, a cat that she locked. She tied the cat like a puppy. فلم تطعمها. She failed to provide for that cat. She failed to feed the cat. She locked the cat without feeding the cat. تأكل من حشاش الأرض. To the extent that the cat began to eat, get nourished from the insects of the compound, from the plant, from the remedies of the compound, حتى مات. To the extent that the cat died. So due to that, God punished the woman. So likewise, you need to be kindful to the animals that you stalk. Most especially the domestic animals. There is high punishment in that. There is a high punishment within the domestic animals if you are not kindful to them. And that's the reason why God mentioned, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And fear God, and you should know that the Almighty is severe in the punishment. The punishment that you would receive from God is a different one. It's very severe. So fear God. You should know about these issues. Don't shift the labor that is on you to animals. Even if you know, or even though you know that that labor is beyond the capacity, the ability and agility of that particular animal. So today we are on the web of development. Now the body should be shifted to machines, should be shifted to technology, should be shifted to the robot. It is kindness to shift the labor to animals. Before the labor is on humans, you know how it happened to Abraham alayhi salam. The labor would have been on Ishmael. On some of the Bible verses that happened to Isaac, but it was Ishmael. Allahumma musta'an. So God saved him. When the Almighty saved Ishmael from the sacrifice, so God decided to shift the labor, the body, on animals in order to be kindful to humans. Bit by bit, God decided to shift the labor from humans to animals, from animals to lesser animals. Like in the time of Dawood alayhi salam, we had about the technology. God has given him the technology. So God taught David and Solomon, that is Sulaiman alayhi salam, to innovate, that is to come up with technology that would shift the body from humans, from animals, from jinkan to those machines. So this is how the history began. The burden of labor is on humans, later to animals. But today in 21st century, you would see that some of the humans are mounting the burden of the labor onto the animals. While we have the chance to shift the burden of that labor to the robots, to the machines, and that is Ihsan. That's the kindness. If we do that, we do an act of kindness, and God will love us. But like that, so God is trying our mode of understanding. So much verses that talks about these issues. Yes, indeed, God mentioned وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ وَالْخَيْلَ, the horses, وَالْبِغَالَ, and the she-camel, والبقال, the mules. You know there is difference between الناقة and البغلة. الناقة, that is she-camel. البغلة, that is والبغالة, لغة الفمر, بغلة, that is the mules. That is a mule, plural form mules. والحميرة, and the donkeys, plural of الحمار. لتركبوها وزينة, God mentioned that. For you to ride, أنا سن آدم مت. يخلق ما لا تعلم. And he creates. He created things of which you have no knowledge. God creates so many different things that you don't have the knowledge of that. والخيل والبغال والحمير لتركبوها وزينة. That is in Surah Al-Nahl. And the donkeys. The horses, the mules and the donkeys. لتركبوها وزينة. For you to ride and as an adornment. ويخلق ما لا تعلمون. And he created things of which you have no knowledge about. You have no knowledge of that. So all those verses, if you go back to Surah Al-Nahl, when God talks about farming, when God talks about agriculture, you know Surah Al-Nahl, chapter, they created with a title of bee, and nahl, a bee that produces honey. So even if you incline towards bee farming, will enrich your source. You see how the demand of honey is so high in this our time. So expensive, but of little quality, which cannot satisfy the human's demand. Besides even the infringement, the adulteration in the honey. Today, for example. So if you adopt to bee farming, you would definitely get the benefit also. So in that particular chapter, where God is mentioning about agriculture and the issue of labor. When God mentioned about the cattle, وَلَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا. And the cattle that he created, he has created them for you. In them there is warmth. And numerous benefits. And God mentioned about the labor. But still, God in those verses, He highlighted to the humans on how to shift the labor. God give us the time to the exegesis of Surah Al-Nahl. We would dissect the information in Surah Al-Nahl in aligning to what we had now from these verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. God mentioned about the labor, like in chapter 7 of Surah Al-Nahl. God mentioned that, and they carry your loads to a land that you could not reach illa bishak al-anfus, except with great trouble to your souls, except with great body, great labor to your souls. So God said, truly your Lord is full of kindness, most merciful. So God created the animals for you in order to shift the labor to the animals. So today we have the knowledge to create robots, to create the machines. So if we are very wise, we would shift the labor, the women on the animal that were created by God to that which we created. This indicating that we are grateful to our Maker. We are also kindful. Have you get the logic? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us example in the verse 8 of Surah An-Nahl, after mentioning about the lever in verse 7. سَرْبَ الْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْتَبُوهَا وَزِينَ وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The horses, mules and donkeys, لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ, for you to ride, and as an Adam. So today we have some alternatives. We have the bike, the bikes, the train, the aeroplane, the private jets, for example. So instead of riding the animals, riding the horses, the donkeys, the mules, so we can ride all these things that we created, the bikes, the jets, for example. The cars, Lamborghini, Ferrari, Porsche, Tesla, Model X, Model Y. You have the Cybertruck. So that purpose of riding or driving would be shifted to the machines, to the technology. How do you get it? So what remains? The other portion. Wazina for adamant. So we can make the horses, the mules, the donkeys for adamant. So here we win the 50% of the battle, the 50% of the wool, the 50% of the keys, the 50% of the matter. Have you got it? And God like that. This is indicating that we are grateful to God. No problem. If we wish, we can ride the animals. We can continue in that. But as far as we have a chance, we have the means, we get to the level of knowledge that we would be able to create other machines. Get to the level of automation, so we can just shift the body into those machines to take it, to uplift it from the animals. That is kindness. Have you got it? So this is how God the Almighty elaborates the aspect of science and technology to humans. Have you get? So inshallah, due to the time limitation, we are going to make a full stop here. And we will proceed further in the next session to the next verse, Al-Hajj Ashhurun Ma'lumat. The pilgrimage is of known month. It is to be performed in familiar month. There are some certain months that the pilgrimage has to be performed within. Not all the months, the 12 months that we have in a year, but of certain months. We are going to have the exegesis in the upcoming session, inshallah. So, whatever that we discuss within this few minutes, we ask God the Almighty to reward us in it. Whatsoever the interface of any kind of erotic statement or unnecessary discussion, we ask God the Almighty to take it away from our deeds and to reward us also. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.